I bet you recognize that music. On today's episode, we're talking about some considerations that you should think about when getting married, but more specifically, during a remarriage scenario. So we're going to talk about some things that you and your partner should be thinking about and talking about prior to walking down the aisle. Hope that you enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Weekly Wealth Podcast. I am Certified Financial Planner David Chudik. This podcast and my wealth management practice are both designed to help the mass affluent to live better lives by how they handle their money. We talk about financial strategies, prosperous mindsets, and simply how to build true wealth. So come on and let's enjoy this journey together. So we've all heard the statistics. Roughly 40 to 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and then roughly half of those end up getting remarried. So I wanted to do an episode about some financial considerations that couples that are getting remarried or married for the second time should consider. I always talk about that how we handle our money should positively impact our lives and the lives of those around us, and how we handle our money greatly affects our marriages. So let's talk about a few things today that can hopefully help us to have healthy and happy relationships. My first item for couples who are getting remarried is simply communication. So talking about all of the aspects of money, but specifically, let's disclose financial information. So let's give full disclosure of assets, of debts, of financial obligations. Maybe you're still obligated to pay child support or alimony from previous relationships. All of those things are crucial for transparency and planning. You can also talk about money attitudes and personalities. So like if one of the pair is a spender and the other is a saver, it doesn't mean that one is right and the other one is wrong. But what it does need is they need to talk about that. They need to put down some rules on when is it okay to spend? How much is it okay to spend? When is it, how much should we be saving? And those kind of things. And make sure that as a newly married couple, you are learning about each other's attitudes and financial personalities. It's very important that there's a high likelihood that the first marriage maybe had some financial tension. So let's do the best that we can to stave these off from having in this marriage. Number two is you need to decide and talk about if you are going to have a prenuptial agreement. So according to the American College of Trust and Estate Council website, a prenuptial agreement, commonly known as a prenup or premarital agreement, is a legally binding contract signed by a couple before marriage, specifying how their assets, debts, and spousal support will be handled in the event of a divorce or death. It aims to protect each party's individual financial interests and outlines the terms of property distribution and alimony. So what does all that mean? It really means that you're going to work with an attorney if you decide to have a prenuptial agreement to decide what happens at the dissolution of a marriage. So the first question is, well, should we have a prenuptial agreement? Well, this is a personal question that I cannot answer for you, but I do think that it's something that's very important and you should discuss and make sure that you're on the same page with regards to your prenuptial agreement if it's going to happen, or on the same page of not having a prenuptial agreement. Okay, so let's talk about estate planning. It's important to update wills, trusts, and beneficiary designations. That's a huge one there, and I'm going to get to why that's so important in just a second. To reflect your new marital status, decisions need to be made on how to divide assets upon death, particularly if there are children from previous marriages. So let's talk about those beneficiary designations. So if you're like most people, you don't really think very often about your life insurance beneficiary designations or your IRA designations, but there's a chance, and I've seen it happen, where somebody gets divorced, they never change their life insurance beneficiary. They get married again, and then they pass away, and their first spouse is listed still as a beneficiary on their life insurance policy. In many cases, and it depends on your state and you need to get a lawyer involved, but in many cases, there's really not a whole lot that can be done, and that money would go to the first spouse. So make sure that we're updating our estate planning and make sure that we're talking about where should the assets go in the event of the death of one of the spouses? Should spouse number one, should his or her assets go to the children from a previous marriage, or should his or her assets go to the spouse? There's no right answer to this. It depends on what you want to happen. It's a very personalized decision, but make sure that we're talking about these and not letting them just happen by default. So what about budgets? What about monthly expenses? And what about debt? So are you going to combine your money into one account? Are both paychecks going to go into one checking account, and from that account, you're going to pay the electric bill, the mortgage payment, the rent payment, those kind of things? Are debts going to be handled separately or together? So if one of the couple is bringing in some student loan debt or credit card debt, and the other of the couple is not bringing in any debt, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to handle expenses? Is everything going to be combined, or is one of the couple going to be paying for some expenses and one of the couple going to be paying for some other expenses? So in first marriages especially, I'm a huge fan of combining all the monies that can be combined because it is a partnership. But this is something that you don't have to agree with me on, but make sure that you're talking amongst yourselves on how we're going to handle the money. How are we going to handle the debt, if there is any, and how are we going to handle the expenses? And make sure that you're on the same page so that you can minimize the chances of having financial friction in your new marriage. The next thing for you to do is to understand how remarriage may affect any child support payments that you're making or receiving, or alimony arrangements that you are paying or receiving. In some jurisdictions, remarriage can alter these obligations, so make sure that you're speaking with your attorney and you understand your personal situation with regard to child support and alimony. Blended family considerations. So if either of you have children from a previous relationship, how are the financial expenses of the children from a previous relationship going to be handled? So are both spouses going to now pay for college, let's say, for each other's children, or be contributing to that? So again, these are things that are complicated scenarios, complicated situations, but make sure that you're talking about it, coming to agreements on how you'll handle the blended family part, and more specifically, the money-related aspects of the blended family. Let's take a break from the podcast for just a moment. If you are part of the mass affluent, and if you've ever wondered what it might be like to work with me personally as your financial advisor, I have a very simple process. So go to my website, www.weeklywealthpodcast.com, and click on the schedule a chat button at the top. From there, you'll have access to my calendar, and you can schedule a simple 30-minute Zoom meeting where we can talk about some of your financial hopes, some of your financial dreams, what's keeping you up at night, and if there are any next steps. It really is that simple, and there is no cost for that appointment. Okay, now let's get back to the podcast. So hopefully by this point, you've discussed some of the major considerations, like where are you going to live? If both parties own a home, is one going to sell the home? Are they going to move into one home? Are they going to sell both homes, buy a new home? Can you rent out one home and live in the other home? So there are a lot of considerations here, and there may be emotions tied to them. So again, communication is going to be important here. Now, as far as your advisors, your financial advisor, your attorneys, your accountants, all of those types of people, another thing to talk about is like, which one are you going to use? If one of the spouses has always used an accountant and another of the spouses has always used a different accountant, now that you're married, it probably doesn't make that much sense to have two different tax preparers. So you're going to need to talk about which one you should be using and talk about the pros and the cons. And like anything else, there may be some compromise involved. There's no set rule against spouses using separate financial advisors, but I normally would advise against that because coming into a partnership, coming into a marriage, it's probably best to at least look at the finances as a whole financial picture. Okay, so now I'm going to give you some very general information on Social Security benefits and remarriage. So these laws change, so make sure that you understand how these apply to you personally when you do get remarried. But here are some general guidelines. So if you were married for at least 10 years and are currently unmarried, you might be eligible to receive benefits based on your ex-spouse's Social Security record. Remarrying generally means you can no longer collect benefits based on your ex-spouse's earning record unless the later marriage ends by death, divorce, or annulment. If your previous spouse has passed away and you were married for at least 10 years, you are eligible for survivor benefits. If you remarry before the age of 60, you cannot receive survivor benefits as long as that marriage remains in effect. If you remarry after the age of 60, you can continue to qualify for benefits on your deceased spouse's Social Security record. Once you are married for at least a year, you are eligible to receive spousal benefits based on your current spouse's Social Security record. This can be a significant consideration, especially if your new spouse has significantly higher earnings record than your own or previous spouse's earning record. So these are some things to think about. Make sure that you are understanding your situation and as it applies with current laws. But Social Security considerations can be hugely important in a second marriage. So finally, let's talk about the big day. Let's talk about the wedding. Of course, many first marriages are very extravagant, costing a lot of money. And on the second go-around, there may not be the desire on either party's part to go all out. But suffice it to say, it's important to make sure that you're, again, just like all of these other scenarios, talking about what's important to each other so both needs can be filled. So what type of wedding? What will the cost of the wedding? Will it be a big wedding? Will it be a small wedding? Will the exes be invited? How do you handle some of the other relatives? All of these things can put stress on a new marriage. So discuss them, have honest, open, candid conversations, and let's try to avoid any real friction with regard to all of these matters. Okay, so that about wraps up this episode of the Weekly Wealth Podcast, where we talked about some financial considerations with regards to second marriages. So what do you think? Did I leave anything out? Do you have any experience here? Did I get anything wrong? Go to my website, www.weeklywealthpodcast.com, and click on the microphone icon and actually leave me a voice message. If you feel like there's something that I should have added in here, something that I didn't get quite right, or something that should have been left out. This is an interesting topic, and I always say about everything, how we handle our money should positively impact our lives and the lives of those around us, and that certainly has a huge application with regards to second marriages. So until next episode, I wish everybody a blessed week. Investment advice offered through Parallel Financial, an SEC registered investment advisor, able to conduct advisory business in states where it is registered or exempt or excluded from registration. Contents contained herein are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer or solicitation for investment advice or for the purchase or sale of any security, insurance, or other investment product.